honest to God, Glenn, I thought this was the year the Sharks. I thought this was the year. I didn't think the Sharks would sweep the Kings, but when they were up comfortably, I thought, okay, maybe five games. I don't see how San Jose wins this series right now.
Well, there's so many question marks. You just start and goal. Who do you play for Game 7? Just think about being a coach or general manager and you're not sure who Game 7 has for you. I imagine they go back to Niemi. They don't have their best defenseman in Pickles Vlasic. And everything going against them. And the call last night for the second goal, atrocious would be an understatement. But the letter of the law, the referee again, same referee as we've had in our sights for the whole playoffs, made a call that, you know, if you read the rule book, yes, he didn't push the goalie and the puck into the net. He moved the goalie 6 feet, but the goalie didn't quite get to the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
Interference at the least on the goaltender. But that's the game-winning goal, and it fell apart from that moment on for San Jose, and there was two more after that. But this is a whale of a series based on a lot of different things. And, yeah, if you're San Jose, you are reeling. You better get this thing back together in a hurry.
Simple question, Glenn. What do they do at this point, if you're Todd McClellan? I mean, you've seen this before. And B, history would suggest that maybe you don't have the answer for it if you're Todd McClellan, but what do you do if you're him?
It's time for Joe Thornton to step up, mm-hmm. to be a player like an Anze Kopitar, to have one of those moments where you understand why you're paying him north of $6 million. And if he doesn't step up, then the Game 7 will be his last game as a San Jose Shark.
I don't know, Glenn, look, Anze Kopitar, terrific player. A lot of people.
He took a team full of junior B players and won games in the Olympics.
I was going to ask you about that. I remember you talking about Anze Kopitar, holding him out as kind of the counterexample to what the Russians did when he was playing for the Slovenian team. He's a good player. Obviously, a lot of people really like him. But I just think that this is a guy who's getting more and more respect around the NHL, isn't he? Because of the Olympics and because of this series. I mean, he's a big-time player. He deserves to be among the elite big-time players in the NHL.
He is. And Stanley Cup champ and all the things that he's done for Los Angeles. You know, you look at that club and where they're at and why they're at where they're at. They've won. That's the reason they're hanging around. That's the reason Pittsburgh looked at Columbus in Game 5 and said, okay, we've had enough of this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go out and they just make it happen and they win. That's the reason the Chicago Blackhawks looked at Ryan Miller and the St. Louis Blues and said, we've had enough of you. You know, all of it goes down to that pedigree of winning in my mind.
Mm.
You know, for the life of me, I can't figure out why St. Louis would go out and grab two players from the worst team in hockey. Like, they figured out how to win. That's why you're getting them two, Ott and Miller. And so, yeah, it lays out like a textbook. The guys that have won know how to win and are doing it at the best possible time.
We haven't had a chance to talk since the Blues were eliminated by the Blackhawks. What is Ryan Miller's value right now on the market?
If I'm a general manager?
Yeah.
Nothing. He's not on my team, period. You're most famous for what? What are you most famous for? Losing the gold medal game?
I was going to say giving up the gold to Sidney Crosby.
Okay, I could put you in net.
Yes.
Do you play goal?
No.
Okay, you could lose the gold medal game.
I could.
I need someone to win it for me.
Right.
And so the value to me, he's lost the last four playoff series now. And hasn't played a meaningful game in I can't tell you how many years. And they get him to be the difference maker, and he's not. So you call a spade a shovel.
Mm.
It is what it is. And that's not the guy that I would look at and say, I'm building my team around this guy. Jonathan Quick, I'll build my team around him, no question. But not Ryan Miller. So his value, If you can convince me why I should pay him $6+ million, it's going to take a long time to convince me.
Glenn Healy joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So we've got the we've been here before element to the wins by Pittsburgh, certainly Chicago, and it looks like L.A. What is, knowing that you've won in the case particularly of the Kings and Blackhawks most recently, knowing that you've won a Stanley Cup for the most part with the same group, with the same core group, what is that worth a year later to a team or 2 years later to a team? I mean, I it's probably hard to quantify, but there's something there, isn't there?
Oh, gosh. You know, you looked at last night where Justin Williams, who's, you know, Mr. Clutch, every time there's an elimination game, he finds a way to score or get a point. Did it again last night. I mean, it's got to be 13 straight games where they're on the cusp of elimination and he pitches in with something offensively. You know, but, you know, he gets engaged late in the game and, you know, with Rafi Torres. And just the look he gives Rafi Torres, as if, like, you're insignificant. This don't even matter to what my focus is in this series. And, you know, now it's jump ball for Game 7, and you have to think, you know, where all the games leading up to Game 7, the advantage was always with San Jose. You don't get another mulligan. Pressure's clearly on L.A. They can't lose another game. I don't know how it can't now be all the pressure mounted against San Jose, their coaching staff. They lose. They're gone. It is just a huge moment in time where there's just so much pressure on one team, the team that, you know, has always been the playoff darlings and has never got it done.
Did we learn something about Columbus this year?
You know, they're talked about it. They're football on ice, right? They're a big team. They take the body. And, you know, for the most part, they physically dominated the Pittsburgh Penguins. And there was a point, though, in this series where the switch flipped and they stopped being football on ice. They were kind of like stars on ice, got a little bit full of themselves, and Pittsburgh took the series over. And it wasn't for much of the series. It was for, you know, the elimination game and half of where they were kind of the attention span of field mouse in Game 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were happy to be in the postseason. They were happy that they got there. They're happy they got to play in front of their home crowd. But they weren't ready to take the next step, which was they had Pittsburgh on the mat. They had a goalie that the coach was questioning who couldn't make a save, and they let him off the mat. And I think, you know, you look back at the season, it'll be one of success. But if I'm a player on the team, you let a moment slip by when you had a team on the ropes.
What do you expect to happen tonight when the Rangers and Flyers go at it with the Rangers having a shot to
Rangers move on. They're a better team. Flyers are, you know, good season. Craig Berube, wonderful job. But with Lundqvist in net, with an elimination game on the line, I can't see how the Rangers don't move on tonight.
The Flyers, you talked about Craig Berube and the job he did. And I mean, certainly he rescued the season for the Flyers. Or he at least, when he took over, the season started to be rescued. Ultimately, the players decide that. But when he took over, the season started to be rescued. This is an organization that's kind of spun its wheels a little bit in recent years. Are they at least on the right track now with him? Do we know enough about Craig Berube and about the players he has on that team, Glenn, that we could say that they're on the right track?
No.
Okay.
It all starts and ends with Schneider, which is their owner, who, you know, at the swipe of a pen, cuts checks for $26 million for Ville Leno. And thinks, now we're on the right track, and then cuts a check for $25 million for Ilya Bryzgalov not to play. Now we're on the right track. They're just they're an organization that, as a player, you'd love to be part of because they're so emotional. Just it's almost like the city. They have the same heartbeat as the city does, but they're you know, they've got a draft better, and you know they've changed the way they play with Berube. And Laviolette's gone, and they're not a sit-back team anymore. They're a pressure team in all three zones. They're a good team, but I don't think they're a team that's ready to take the next big step, which would be to put them in that same class as Chicago and Los Angeles and the teams that and Boston, the teams that win championships.
You know, Glenn, a series that I found kind of interesting, I mean, I wouldn't say it's gotten lost in the shuffle, but it certainly hasn't been dominated a lot of the discussion, the Avalanche and the Wild. Going to seven games, the Wild winning last night. I mean, I think when they signed Zach Parise and Ryan Suter in the summer of 2012, it was nights like last night that I think they probably the Minnesota Wild probably had in the back of their mind. Either one of these teams that come out of these series, are they going to have anything left for the next round?
No, not with what's left who they have to play against, and it has been a really good series when you watch it. I look at the breakout of like a Nathan MacKinnon. Wow, he's a man at 18.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, you know, like this guy is the real deal. And the Avalanche have a lot of great future. You know, they're even last night, Patrick Waugh, like very calm, cool. Team wasn't winning, but yet he just kind of has that idea of what the players need at the right time. He knew it right at the beginning of the year when he defended one of his players when MacKinnon got a knee on knee, and he knows it now. And, you know, I look at their group, and, you know, we were talking internally yesterday just about the fact that, you know, Patrick Waugh has more power than the general manager. So if you're a player on that team, you know, there are times when the coach says something and you shut the coach off, whatever. I've got a 6-year deal, I'm outlasting you.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that power to make changes internally with your group as a coach, you have a lot of power, and players better listen. Because if you don't, you're gone. And it's not the general manager that's going to be calling you. It's a guy 4 feet away. He's looking at the number and the name on the back telling you you're done.
Speaking of gone, the Washington Capitals have cleaned house. Adam Oates and George McPhee sent packing. A couple of questions. One, give me, I'm not going to ask you for a name, who the perfect fit would be for GM, more importantly, head coach in Washington. But what does that next guy, what do those next guys have to have as character traits? I don't know, maybe you have a name in mind.
Do they need like a pacifier for Ovechkin? You know, I'll take you back to the series they played against the Rangers.
Yep.
And we were sitting by the TV trucks, post-morning skate, getting ready for a postseason game. There are four kids wearing Capitals jerseys waiting for the players that you leave through the TV truck area and out onto the street for autographs. And four of them, young kids, waited for Ovechkin for an autograph. He walked right by them.
Hmm.
That's the moment my Ovechkin pom-poms got put away, and I started writing a tombstone. That's the soul of this player.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's buried in a lot of coaches, and a lot of general managers, and a lot of good people, because he can score goals, but he couldn't care less about a team edict. And that, to me, is the cause of your problem. And until you cut that out, you will be the same team that we were watching all the time. Yeah, fun to watch at times. Man, those home broadcasts are great, aren't they? The two homers that mm-hmm. do the broadcast. But, again, another good guy, two good guys, that rest in peace because of Alexander Ovechkin. And if the owner ever figures out what it takes to win as a team, then they'll make the next step.
You almost do get the sense, it's almost a vanity play in a lot of ways for Ted Leonsis, isn't it? It's almost like he's a collector. I've got to collect interesting things. I've got to collect interesting players. I've got Alexander Ovechkin. This is a great player. I'll tell you what. I would be willing to bet that in a Canadian market, and this might be kind of extending things a little too much, but in a Canadian market, if Alexander Ovechkin's career had gone the way it's gone and he was playing in a Canadian market, I bet he'd be out of town by now.
No doubt that he'll be in the KHL before this is all said and done. He doesn't mm-hmm. finish his contract, and he'll be dancing around Russia with his participation medal from Sochi. Good on him. Have a good time. And he's going to have more money than any of us will ever know. But, you know, when you play with really good players and really good people, like I've had the fortunate chance to do in my career, and then you see kind of that act where you break every single rule the team has, then if I'm a player on the team, I can't tell you how frustrated that they must be. And I can tell you, on their exit interviews, there were two people that got torched. One of them was Ovechkin, and one of them was Adam Oates for putting up with what Ovechkin did through the course of the season.
Glenn, as always, good stuff. Safe travels as you continue on the playoff trail.
Here we go. One more game 7, and then Boston, Montreal. Bring it on.
Oh, that's going to be great. Appreciate it, Glenn.
Okay. See you, Jeff.